The feelings rising up like a snake out of a basket, slithering up my spine and into my mind, causing my sanity to slowly unwind. My rationality is tipped off balance. Carefully ordered thoughts go haywire. Logic takes a backseat and composure is caught in the crossfire. I might look cool and collected, but there's a battle raging inside and my whole being is affected because my head and my heart are interconnected. My mind is racing and so is my pulse. I long for the days when I went to sleep without a care. Now I feel like I'm trapped in a nightmare. I need to get this serpent off my back. Need to stop overthinking and change the track. Need to press pause, but the record's scratched. Negativity is creeping in. Paranoia is joining the din. I long for silence, but my head's filled with chatter. Should I? Why did I? Can I? Why can't I? And there are too many balls I'm trying to juggle. I've taken too much on and now daily life's a struggle. I need to silence this viper. I think I need help because one minute I'm in tears and the next I'm hyper. And I want to get back to being me, to get centered and remembered who I used to be. So I'll have a cry and I'll talk it out. And tomorrow I might seek a professional out. But right now, I'll just breathe. Inhale, hold and release. Repeat and just breathe.
And welcome to another episode of the Sisterhood of Mommy Imperfect. I'm Mommy Imperfect, aka Rena. And I was going to do another round of WTF or Shut the Front Door. But this week, I read a couple of stories that made me change my mind. So the first one was Lily Singh, YouTuber, talking about how she's taking a break from YouTube to focus on her mental health. And then the second story I read was the singer Cheryl has revealed that she's actually been seeing someone for her anxiety. And I kind of got to thinking about mental health and women and how we deal with issues with our mental health and how we keep it in check and how do we overcome issues like anxiety and depression. So I kind of thought it was only right to dedicate this entire episode to women and mental health. And so I got with me today my sister-in-law Jodie. You'll recognize her from episode 2 of the podcast, which was Call Your Sister-in-Law. My sister-in-law Josh can't be with us today because she's jet-setted off to Ghana.
Yes.
And that's fine. We're going to hear from her a little bit later on as well. But the reason I wanted to talk to you, Jodie, you can say hello to everyone if you want to.
Hi, everyone.
So I wanted to get Jodie's opinion and point of view on this because she's worked previously for Mind in Haringey, which is a mental health charity which helps adults in Haringey, London. And also because of your own experiences with mental illness as well. So I'm going to first talk about Lily Singh. So she's been making YouTube videos for 8 years now. And she's got over 14 million followers. And she said she's suffering from creative burnout. In her own words, she said she's mentally, physically, emotionally and spiritually exhausted. It's hard.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt like that?
There's a lot there. But I have felt burnt out. I have 2 children. One is 4, the other is 9. I'm also in the middle of I'm at the end of a university degree in my last year. And it's been really intense. And I guess there are days when I come home and my day doesn't end. So I'm on placement as well. So it's basically like having a job. And I come home and I do feel like, oh, you know what, I just want to lay down. I just want to get into the bed and lay down.
Tell me about it, yeah.
You know, that's what I want to do. But you can't because we have a duty. We're parents. I'm my child's mum. And yeah, I guess there are some days I do feel like, do you know what, I can't be asked to do this anymore. I just can't be bothered. Even
I'm laughing because I know what you're talking about.
And you just sort of say, you know what, guys, sorry, but I'm just clocking, like, I'm going.
Yeah,
I'm just walking.
I've actually said before, I clocked off half an hour ago, so you put yourself to sleep because I can't take it anymore.
When I'm feeling like I'm getting stressed and my mental health and well-being is deteriorating because of it, the absolutely most critical thing that I do is pause. Finding that quiet space and that quiet moment means that I can really gather my thoughts and I can breathe. Breathing is so important, and just being able to gather the thoughts, breathing, makes me feel like I can center myself and I can come back to me. And I think that's really important because it allows me to kind of deal with what's coming next rather than being really kind of reactive and firefighting to what's happening next.
Whenever I get stressed, I make a point of removing myself from whatever it is that's becoming overwhelming. So I'll go for a walk, I'll have a chin wag, and I make a point of exploring what's going on, and I talk it out. I talk it through until I scream or cry or I laugh, whatever it is.
I kind of think, like, you know, YouTubers and people who are making their living off of creating stuff for social media, that is like a lot of pressure.
Oh my gosh, totally. And also the abuse that they receive as well online, and the things that people say are horrendous, you know. And that, as much as people say it doesn't affect them, of course, because even if you read one comment and someone said, "I want you to die," you know, something.
And people
like
say
that, they do say stuff like that. And that will affect you. And there's only so much. And this lady's probably thought, you know what, or maybe on the other hand, she's thinking, "I've made my money, I'm out of it." But on, you know, but seriously, it is about her being aware. Probably now, with, you know, there is. I do still think there is stigma, but maybe we can get onto that later on. But I do feel that maybe now she sees there's more awareness around your mental health. And she's probably thought, you know what, I do need to look after myself. Sometimes you have to take a step back and say, I need to look after me.
I was just reading this other thing about this other guy on YouTube as well. And he's basically said that he was getting really depressed because... you just keep thinking about followers, like, I want to get more followers, I want to create things. And it's not just okay that, oh, I put one thing on YouTube, I'm on YouTube. Yeah. I put the odd video now and then. I know I need to do more, but I do a lot of other things as well, so it's not the only thing I do. But if that's what you do and you're getting followers, and then if you suddenly stop, if you don't upload things for a few days, you go down in the, like, the search frequency or something, you know, and you don't want people to forget about you, so you have to keep putting out content. It's because the audience expects frequency and consistency, so you've got to keep putting things out.
I think you do know what you've signed up for as well, on the other hand. So I do feel like, although I understand where they're coming from and it's really important, and I'm the biggest advocate for, you know, looking after yourself and your mental health, however, I do feel that these YouTubers, they know what they're signing themselves up for. They want the likes, they want the fame, they want the money. It is kind of, in my opinion, an easy way to make money now, and a lot more people are doing it, and I feel that people should know what they're getting themselves into.
I actually feel like, because I blog on Steemit, and I've seen people on Steemit, including myself, take a break from it sometimes. Because I've taken breaks from it sometimes, from blogging, and people have been like, when I come back, they're like, "Oh, where have you been and stuff? Oh, I thought you just left Steemit." But I feel like you need to take breaks.
Yeah.
Because even that, you know, writing consistently is great. You know, it's great. And you can make money from it, and it's a nice thing to do, and you build up a following and stuff. I've had to take breaks sometimes where all I do is spend time with my kids, cook nice food, and declutter my house, have dinners with friends, and I don't do anything like that. I just have a complete break, and other people do it as well. And it's one of the reasons why I'm not on Instagram, because I feel like I can't cope with too much.
Yeah, you're not on Instagram.
No,
are you?
I know, because you guys are saying that. Like, loads of people are like, "What are you not on Instagram?"
I know.
I feel like it's so weird, because I think I should be, but I don't want to, because it's one more thing to handle.
I get that.
And then it's like, I know people who, they're always talking about building up their following and stuff, and I don't know. It's just one more thing to build up, and I just think, no. Yeah.
So when I feel anxious or stressed, I just write it out, really. I just think that, okay, it's not always going to be like this, and just get through it. or sometimes I just cry my way through it, or just do what I gotta do really when it happens. And it's not a set thing, whatever. I just deal with things as they come.
I've definitely struggled with mental health over the last few years, triggered by some bereavements that I faced. But the two things that really, really helped me, one was seeking out a psychotherapist to talk through how I was feeling, but also bringing a practice of daily meditation into my life. I think those two things were really transformative for me, and they really helped me to face the way I was feeling and to really look inside and see how I could build my emotional stability. So I really would recommend them to everybody.
Like, when do you think that we should get professional help? Like, what at what point do we need to, how bad do we need to be feeling before we get professional help?
So if you are feeling really low and this feeling keeps on going on for a long time, like for quite a while, when you think, actually, this is affecting what I'm doing in the day, you do need to seek medical help. Mm-hmm. And you do need to go to the doctors, or you do need to phone up Samaritans or speak to somebody that you trust. That's very, very important. You know, you need to be aware of that and say, actually, hold on a minute. You know, read up about mental health, understand it, you know, look at the symptoms. There's so much information out there now. So I had a personal experience. We were talking about this earlier, and I felt like I was choking. I couldn't eat properly. And that carried on for a few months. At the time, I was at college. It was towards the end of college. This is before I started uni. So it was quite pressured. I was handing assignments. And I don't know, I just think that there was also personal things going on, and it affected me that way. Now, I'm finding that I have insomnia. So sometimes I can't sleep. I'm sitting there, my mind's racing. And that's, you know, I do feel that that could be anxiety, because I'm also thinking about things, but I'm thinking the worst about things.
You're overthinking.
And that's one of that's a symptom of anxiety. Depression, so I know I'm talking about the anxiety and depression, because I feel that they're really common with people. Depression, I feel that I feel that I have lived with depression, because there's been times when I've had to really motivate myself. I've had to like talk myself around to get out of the house. And I'm talking about when I've had my kids, and I've had to like really, you know, say, right, come on, just get out of the house and go, you know. And that is because I just couldn't be bothered. There's been times when I've just been at home and not been doing anything, especially with my firstborn. I wasn't doing much, and I was finding myself in a rut, and I wasn't doing it. We were just at home, and it would be a struggle, you know. He was the first child I'd had.
It's hard with your firstborn, isn't
young.
It?
Oh yeah, my first. I was really young. Well, I felt I was young.
How were you? 25? Yeah, it's quite young now. That's,
I think,
quite young,
it is
isn't
nowadays.
It now?
It's quite young, but for me emotionally, I was quite young anyway. So yeah, it was a struggle, and I did go to the doctors, and I did say to the doctor that I feel that I was, you know, maybe I had depression. I wasn't too sure. Spoke about how I was feeling. The doctor didn't, which was really good. The doctor didn't say, right, we're going to put you on antidepressant tablets. The doctor suggested that I go for cognitive. I know that I didn't, at the time, I didn't know the name of it, but it was CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. Mm-hmm. And I. The thing with cognitive behavioural therapy, no, because I said I couldn't make it to the actual clinic. So could I, or is there any other way? They said you can have it over the phone, and it was the worst thing I could have ever done. Trying to have therapy over the phone is not ideal. I would suggest, if anybody is thinking about having therapy, please one-to-one or in a group session. It's the most effective way. You need that personal approach, personal touch, you know, that empathy. You need to see that. You cannot do it over the phone. So please, if anybody out there who's listening to this is ever suggested to do that, please don't do it, because it doesn't work. But at the time, I thought, okay, this could maybe work. And the therapist used to send me sheets in the post, like these sheets to fill out and to say how I'm feeling.
Oh my God, it's like you're on an open university thing or something.
Yeah, no, it was. And in the end, after a few weeks, I said, look, all you're doing is sending me information in the post. This isn't working for me. You know, and she said to me, no, fair enough, I understand. And I got myself, if I'm honest with you, I can't really remember the whole details, but I got myself out of it. I managed to get myself out of it. And I don't think I just managed it. I think I've learned to manage it, because I still do have them days where I'm not motivated and I've got to motivate myself. But what has helped for me is university, you know, having something to do of my own. So not feeling like all I do is, you know, I'm just with my children all the time. It's actually doing something for myself, because, you know, growing up and stuff, I was in and out of jobs. You know, I took the wrong path. I was doing things, you know, I'm not too proud of now, but I feel that all of that did not help. You know, it all affected my mental health, and I feel that now, you know, I'm in a much better position.
Whenever I start to feel anxious or stressed, I become mindful of self-chatter. Every single day, I ensure that I'm really nice to myself, and I tell myself positive, uplifting, forward-thinking things that prevent me from feeling or thinking in a way that could be detrimental to my mental health. Positive affirmations.
Okay, so we've just heard from Josh, right? So she's really good at looking after herself, okay? And how do you think that we can be kinder to ourselves? Because I think I need to be a little bit more.
I think you just need to be more kinder to yourself. It's just take some time out for yourself. So even if it's small things at first, so it's starting small. So it could be running yourself a bath and getting in the bath at night, you know, relaxing in the bath. Or it could be treating yourself. I don't know, personally, I do like chocolate. So it could be, you know what, I'm going to go and buy myself a My Life by Chocolate. Buy myself a bar of chocolate, sit down and watch some trash TV tonight. You know, or it could be something, it could be something a bit more than that. It could be, you know what, I think I'm going to join the gym. I think I'm going to go and join this class. I've been thinking about it. Like me personally, I've been thinking about joining a class, because I just think that's, for me, it's better than, you know, trying to use gym equipment. So you start off small, you know, start off small. You can take care of yourself in so many small different ways. Or even, like for me, I write a reflective journal at placement. So I'm at placement at the moment in social work. And that helps reflecting on your day.
Taking some time to just sit there.
Yeah,
I think that helps a lot as well. Just taking time to just sit there, think about things. And yeah, you know what? I actually, one of the things I always remember is that one of my good friends, she said something to me ages ago. And I had this little book of quotes that I wrote things down that people have said to me and I like, or that I've read somewhere or something. So I actually wrote this down in my little book of quotes. And she actually said to me, smile, eat nice food, have sex and believe in the Almighty. And I literally love that as like a life motto, because I think I was just talking to her at the time about how I was kind of like worried about something or whatever, or felt sad about something. Honestly, I love that advice because I think, you know, I mean, the have sex part, maybe you're not in a relationship and you're not, like, don't worry too much about that. Do you know what I mean?
Either,
yeah, yeah, so and maybe you're not religious, but it's something that for me, it resonated with me, definitely. You know? And just kind of like feeling like there's hard times in life, but then having hope that it's going to get better. It's going to get better. There's going to be good times around the corner. Just having that hope, you know?
Usually what I do is, when I am feeling low, it's because I'm probably not reading a book, or I'm probably not taking care of myself. I'm doing lots of things for other people, but I need to have some me time, and a book can do that. You sort of get swept away in somebody else's story for a while. But also just setting up some play dates with some other mums, or a lunch with a really good girlfriend, or like a shopping trip. But sometimes I feel like, I'm putting little patches on top of the times when I'm feeling low without actually thinking about why I'm feeling low. And so I think one of the things I'd like to do is to actually mull over and think about, you know, why is it that every month or every 6 weeks or so I start having this sort of low period? And actually, instead of just escaping that feeling, to maybe embrace it and actually think about why this could be, and trying to think of a solution that's a bit more long term.
Practicing things that nourish and nurture within on a daily basis. The ways in which I do this, and not all of these are every day, but on the whole, at least one or two, is by enjoying nourishing food, spending time every day in a mindful state, doing some sort of physical activity every day for at least 10 to 15 minutes, even just reading some pages of a book or putting on some music and breaking out into dance in the kitchen or bedroom, or spending time in the company of people that nourish the soul. If this isn't possible always physically, then a phone conversation or even just a message all count too. All of these are important ways for me, and ways that I've found that help me to elevate my mood state and my mental well-being.
So let's just talk a little bit about triggers, like what can trigger mental health issues to kind of take over our lives a little bit. So what I feel personally, toxic people is something that's a big thing. Like for me, I feel a bit like I've kind of come away from people who drain the energy out of me. You know what I mean? Like some people, you just literally, I feel like lying down after you talk to them, because you're like, oh my God, I was happy and now you drained all the positive energy out of me and I've come away from them. And it's not like coming away from people because they've got problems. It's not like that, because people have problems and sometimes they do talk to you and it's draining, but then you kind of, you know what I mean? You're supporting them through a bad time. But then, you know what? You know the kind of people I'm talking about, don't you?
Yeah, no, definitely. I was going to say something then and I completely forgot what I was saying. What I was going to say about triggers.
So I'm talking about toxic people and getting away from them, right? And even, and that can even be like toxic relationships.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was going to say. So not talking. Like in, you know, in your relationships with anybody, it could be with anyone, holding it in, not speaking. I think that that is an issue in a lot of relationships, whether it be with your, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, mum, dad, brother, sisters. It's important to talk. And I know it may not always be well received. If you can't talk to somebody that's close to you, then there's always the option, like Cheryl said, therapy. There's always the option of speaking to a doctor, or speaking to, you know, having counselling. There's such a taboo about counselling, but it's really good. Counsellors are fantastic. They are really good. You know, if you need to speak to somebody, you can even phone. Look, I know it may sound like, whoa, but you can speak to the Samaritans. You can call the Samaritans. You can speak to people and they don't judge you. It's all about not being judged. So if you do feel like, you know, we can say what triggers, you know, you may not be aware of what triggers you, but you may be, you may not even think, oh, I haven't got a mental illness. But if you're at home and you're crying yourself to sleep at night, or, you know, you're just like really angry and like, had enough, think, you know, that's not, that's affecting you. That's really affecting you. So be aware of that. And if you're, you know, try it, you've got to think of ways to manage it. So there's, you know, there are ways that you can manage it. There are ways, you know, there's a lot of services out there now that people can use. There's a lot of advice now. But for your triggers, you just got to be aware of your body, your own body. Be, you know, just being in the now, being in the present is so important. Yeah. Yoga's really good for that as well.
It is. I really want to do yoga. I think I need yoga in my life.
We should
life.
Go together.
I know. We really should. And I, to be honest with you, I don't actually like it. And
no,
I want
don't.
To like it. I don't. Really want, I don't, and it's even like,
but we can,
oh my,
but you
I
know,
want to like it, and I know, and it's part of my culture when I think, oh,
is.
I should like this, and I should
no,
get
no,
in touch with this, but I just feel like, oh, I don't know, like, I actually feel like, oh, I could be lifting weights, I could be like running on a treadmill or running outside, but then you know what, I think in a way, if that works for you, lifting weights, if it works for you to run around the park for half an hour, which I think works for me to get a bit of release of tension, then that's good as well.
And healthy eating, I didn't say, we haven't spoke about that. Even though you may think you're looking at me because you know I don't, I try to be healthy and I'm healthy for my kids.
We've got biscuits in front of us,
we've got biscuits, I've had a glass of vino. But I think being healthy, you know, it's so important, you know, just try to look at your diet and look what you're eating. And if you drink a lot, try to cut that down. Just these small, like I keep saying, small steps. I think having children plays a massive part on women's mental health. I think that you just don't realize how much, and like postnatal depression.
Yeah, from when you have them.
Yeah.
From when you have them, what's going on in your body? Yeah. You feel like you've been like run over, first of all, right? Don't you?
Mm.
You're getting over childbirth, which really means if you should be on bed rest for 2 weeks and not doing anything to get over
childbirth. Some cultures childbirth. You are, but not in my culture.
Well, when you haven't got many people around you
and
you're trying to get over it, and then you're trying to look after a small child at the same time. Like, I literally remember giving birth to my first child and then being so dead, feeling like I was just like actually dead afterwards.
Yeah.
And then being like, do you expect me to look after this child now?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing and I feel horrible, and then there's so many hormonal things going on that you know what I mean, you just feel like crying all the time anyway because of hormones and stuff.
I remember my milk coming through and laying on the sofa and I just started when milk crying comes
through, that's
I was
the third day
for
the third day most people have some kind of a breakdown
but that if you don't understand that and you've never been told, like my mum didn't say to me, Jode, on the third day you're going to feel emotional. When I told her that I felt like that, she went, oh yeah, your milk's coming through, you know, you're not.
Why does anyone tell you these things?
They don't.
You know, I really like suffered with like social isolation, so that's another trigger. Social, like, because I kind of had like a list of triggers that I wanted to talk about in my head. Social isolation, for me, that's a big one for me personally. You know, other things, I think, like, I feel like I can handle a lot of stuff being thrown at me, but I find social isolation really difficult.
Yeah.
And because I'm a person that likes being around like friends and family a lot, so even when I had my third, who's now two, when I went away, like, because I was working part-time and going in and, like, talking to colleagues and doing some, you know, productive things at work. And going from that and then being waved off on maternity leave, have a nice time, we'll come and see you in the baby. Mm. Obviously, nobody did.
Yeah.
Actually, only one friend from work came to see me and the baby.
Oh, gosh.
I'm so grateful for her,
right? Of course.
And everyone else was like, who are you again? Mm-hmm. And then, because it's like, they just think that, she's busy with her baby and stuff. And I don't think people realise that you actually feel a bit, it's so weird because it's like, you're in your own little world. And then obviously having the other two and taking them to school.
Yeah.
But still, it was like, we were just in our own little world. Like, I'd just been taken away from all other people.
Yeah.
And just now had a small child for company in the day.
Mm.
I find it quite hard to deal with.
Yeah, definitely. I think I said something about that earlier, and I said, that's why I said, if you start to feel like that, and that is a big, major trigger with having children, and even with not having children, just being,
you know, loneliness.
Isolated loneliness, even with older people, you know, who are in their 80s and they're at home and they've got nobody.
It's makes you feel
it's
down.
It's horrendous. It's really horrendous. It's massive. Social isolation is massive. But, you know, like I keep saying, that if you can notice that, just try and get yourself out. Try and speak to the people around you. If you do have people around you, to say that, you know, say how you're feeling. I say to everybody, talk about how you're feeling. If you can, you know, try and join a mother's group and try and make friends. Sometimes it's not easy. It isn't easy.
No, and sometimes it doesn't go the way you want it to go. Because I am, I knew that I was on the edge of, like, I felt like I was on the edge of a black hole, to be honest with you. I knew myself when I suddenly felt like this. And also at that time, like, my little sister, kind of, she went to live in India, and like, I think Josh went to go and live in Ghana, and other people went away to places, and I felt a bit more like the people who I normally talk to all the time. You know, everyone's going everywhere, and I'm stuck at home, and I, you know, and my husband's at work all day and stuff. I felt very, like, isolated. And I knew I need to pull myself out of this before I actually get depressed. Like, I recognised it.
That's good.
So I was like, let me do something. And then I started going to these groups. And to be honest, the first mother and baby group I went to was horrible, because it was like the most unethnically diverse mother and baby group ever. I don't think anybody spoke to me. And they had, well, it was all very clicky. Nobody bothered about me like that. And it, I didn't feel comfortable, and I didn't speak to anybody else. Like, oh my God. But then it's like, you can't let things like that put you off, because then I went to another one, another mother and baby group, and I've been going to the Save Such Children Centre, and it's lovely.
Being British and being Asian, from both sides, you're taught to just stay stoic. But I've seen how that can manifest into something entirely sinister. I have seen my friends and family crippled with anxiety. I've seen them fight their demons and the depression, and actually I've seen it manifest into a full body imprisonment almost. So it's important that when you are feeling anxious and stressed, that you do something about it. You look after your mind, because if your mind is in pain, the rest of you will be too.
Thank you.
Thanks. I enjoy talking about this, because it's a really personal subject for me. So thank you for letting me come on today.
That's all right. So we're going to say bye now. Until the next episode of The Sisterhood of Mummy Imperfect.